You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Okay, last chance for announcements. Go to the scripture reading. It's in Romans today, chapter 9, verses 5 through 8. Whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all? God bless forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the one word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Music is an interesting study in itself. Many years ago, I began a study on music and rapidly saw my own failure at any kind of serious background in music. As I delved further into it, I could see lots in there that I need to learn to really understand music. There was a preacher I used to follow some time ago who was looking at music, and he produced a great series of tapes on music and as it related to the Bible, but also he put a lot in there about the history of music, which I find fascinating. And people who get involved with music, they move somewhere else. We all enjoy music to some degree, and one of the good things about music is that you do actually, once you hook into some nice music, you do go somewhere else. You go somewhere else, and to a certain degree, you become someone else. And that's like language, too. If you get to speak or read another language, it's like becoming someone else as well. And Seppi, she knows this because she speaks fluent Farsi and fluent English. So I'm always amazed when I hear her speaking to her mother and just straight into Persian, fluent. And I sort of think to myself, boy, that must be nice to be someone else like that. Oh, well, let's have a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time we've got together to open the scriptures and to learn all that there is in here for us. We pray, Lord, for those who are unwell, that your spirit will work in their lives and that they would have that peace that they need at this time. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Right, well, we're starting a new series. A new series is starting today, and it's going to be practical lessons in RD, Right Division. So, practical things. And when I looked at this, I thought, no, this is going to be a good study. Because we often, let's just talk for myself. I am often too theoretical in my approach to a lot of things. And we need to know what are the practical things that we can learn from the Bible that are, first of all, distinctly ours? The practical things. How does Right Division make any kind of real difference in your life? How? And so those are the ideas that I sort of looked at. And so I want to just motivate this by going to the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. Now, I have been asked to give a talk at a coming conference on chapter 6 of Ephesians. And I've been reading through chapter 6 of Ephesians and finding in here so many good things that are very practical. But I want to motivate our study today, at least part one, with Ephesians 4, verse 1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now, this one verse is really packed with a lot of meaning. Its placement is important, and I often point this out, that really you have got a tremendous balance here. You have a balance in the book of Ephesians because you've got 1 through 3 and 4 through 6. And there is this nice balance in the scripture where in one side you have a lot that is dispensational and is highly doctrinal as well. And then when you come over to chapters 4 through 6, you've got the walk, the worthy walk. Walking worthily is actually, it's an adverb that's used there. You can see the adverb right here. Axios, worthily. And so you've got this walk which should be worthy, and it balances with, first of all, laying down doctrinal and dispensational truth, and then after that, on top of that, comes the walk which we should all exhibit. Now, a few notes about this. Notice, first of all, it's Paul, I therefore. So he's basing this whole thing on what went on before this. As I say, there was a great discussion here about the revelation of the mystery given to him as Paul the prisoner after the close of the book of Acts, as we've come to understand it, as I've often called Acts 29. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. So here he is speaking as the prisoner. He is the one who has been given the revelation of the mystery. And he's now saying, as a prisoner of the Lord, not simply of the Romans, not simply of Nero, let's suppose, but the Lord. So this is a ministry that's coming about now, that while circumstances in Paul's life have led to the fact that he's put in prison, he is foremost a prisoner of the Lord. And this reminds us of the ministry that Paul's involved with as the prisoner. Ha desmios en curio. This is the prisoner in the realm of the Lord. And he says, beseech you. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. Now that word is interesting. It's parakello. Parakello. And inside here is this verb kaleo, which means to call. And then you've got para alongside. To call alongside. To call alongside. You know, there is a name that's given to the Spirit of God, and it's called a paraclete. The paraclete. The one who's called alongside. Okay, that's interesting. So he beseeches that ye walk worthy of the vocation. And see the word vocation. You can see the word that we have in our English language, vocal. A calling, you see. Vocation. And in fact, it says in the Greek here, klesios, and this kle is a stem which comes from the same verb, kaleo. So all these words, beseech, vocation, and called, they all have that idea of a calling. Calling, three times in here. I find that quite interesting that he would use this. So he is the prisoner, and on the basis of what had been revealed previously to him concerning the mystery, he says, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. The vocation. The calling wherewith ye are called. The calling wherewith you are called. Literally, that's what it's saying. So there's a worthy walk. You can have a walk. The question is, do you have a worthy walk? Okay, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation. So, notice, as I said, that this is an adverb, to walk worthily, as in the Greek says, of the calling of which you are called. So that brings to mind a number of issues. And the issues are the calling, and the worthy walk associated. The calling and the worthy walk associated. We must know what our calling is before we can possibly talk about the worthy walk. We have to know that. And, of course, we've been mentioning this over and over again in this fellowship. So I won't major on that because I've been majoring on it. But here are a few points that I want to bring up about the study, which I think is going to be quite productive, quite practical. It's going to be down to earth. It's going to be taking things from glory and showing how we should exhibit these things in our life. I think that's right where we need to be. And probably about time, right? About time we started really looking at something very practical. So I'm just stating a few obvious things. We can expect that the walk will have some things pertaining to holiness which all saints of every age would share. We can expect that to be the case. We can expect a certain standard of holiness that any believer in any age should have. There is a calling of God. And if you're involved with any calling of God, you should expect a certain walk and holiness that is appropriate for that to be the case. But here is something else that I think we need to really talk about. But we can also expect some distinctives. Some very different things about our walk that no others would have. Consider this, why we had a discussion now just at the front here before the service, talking about our home in the heavenly places. Why, that's incredible. It is just beyond my mind. I can hardly even conceive of this thing. Because I'm in this body of flesh, and I look at and I touch things and I see things that are created. I see the physics of this cosmos. I can look out with the Hubble telescope through the help of various agencies, and I can see pictures of these little things that at first look like stars, but then turn out to be galaxies. And it's huge. And then, with our science, we can look at these through these microscopes right down into the minuscule. And what we find is that when we go down into the minuscule, there's a universe in there. There's a universe in there. It's massive. But that's just the physics, right? That's the physics. What about the metaphysics? What about that? Because you see, I am not a materialist. No, I am not. I believe that there is something metaphysical going on. And that the metaphysical does touch us in our real lives. I do believe that. Do I believe that God does miracles? Yes, I believe He does miracles. I do not believe that people today have the gifts as they once had. No, I don't believe that. But I believe God can heal. And if we pray and He listens to our prayers, then He can still get to His objectives, being the multivariate God that He is. He can get there through all sorts of ways. And at times He can answer our prayers and achieve what He wants to achieve. And if those prayers involve some miraculous things, He might just say yes. He just might say yes. And then sometimes a miracle like that can happen, even without our prayers. A miraculous thing can occur. So I believe that. So, these are some of the questions. What are they? What are these distinctives? How do they differ from other ages? How do the distinctives of our walk and what's expected of us in this life, how do they differ from, say, people in the past age or the ages before that? And how do they connect to peculiar doctrines given to Paul? When I say peculiar, I don't mean that it's weird. I just mean that they are distinctive to the revelations given to Paul. So these are some of the questions that I want to talk about. I think they're cool questions and useful for us. Now, if you look through the Bible at this idea of walk, well, we've seen this one, the walk which is worthy. In Colossians 1:10, it says, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. It's possible, you know, that you can displease God. As a Christian, as a person that's a member of the church, which is His body, we can do things which are not pleasing to God in our walk. That's certainly possible. We can do that. being fruitful in every good work. Yeah, there's works and there are good works. And there are works which are not necessarily fruitful in a good sense. Right? You can get fruit, but boy, that can be bad fruit. I've had my experiences with bad fruit. Have you ever bought, say, some fruit and it looks good? Looks good, man. Oh, yeah. Peach. I used to love eating peaches. I used to pick them. These were the white flesh. I love white flesh peaches. And I used to have a job as a young man working in an orchard, as you know from my talks previously. And I used to pick these peaches, which were right at the top of the tree. You see, the fruit at the top of the tree, no one could get at except for the miners and the other birds would come and collect those ones. But sometimes, even the birds didn't get it. And right up the very top, there were some peaches that had been there for some time. And they are ready to drop. I mean, you just put your hand on it and it falls into your hand. Poop! And those ones? Oh, heaven on earth, man. You get one of those things, we put it in the fridge, let it cool down a bit. Oh, juicy, sweet. Oh, now see, the saliva is coming into my mouth already. And it's just the best, you know. You can have desserts, but when you get a fruit like that, it just beats all these other desserts you can imagine. Being fruitful in every good work. So there are good fruits. There's also the fruit that looks good on the outside and you bite into it and man, it's bad stuff, man. It's bad stuff. And there might be a little critter in there to say hi to you as well. You know? Increasing in the knowledge of God. Oh, that's another nice thing about this. Okay, this is the thing that is a part of the worthy, the walk which is worthy. That there should be an increase in the knowledge of God through this. An increase in the knowledge of God. And I believe that those of us who have come to understand something of the right division of the Scriptures, we have come also to a better appreciation of the nature of God and the realms into which He has placed us and will put us in the future. And that's fantastic. Now look at this passage. This is in 1 Thessalonians 2:12, and I want us to go there. Let's just go to 1 Thessalonians. When we go to 1 Thessalonians, what we're doing is we're going back in time before the revelation of the mystery. We're going back into the time of the book of Acts, 28 and prior, and even part of 29. So 1 Thessalonians 2. Let's just read a couple of things in verse 1. So this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. So this is the nature of Paul's ministry. His first ministry during the book of Acts, it was a time of great boldness. He suffered tremendously. There was a lot of contention in it. And then when you read down just a little bit further, it says this in verse 10, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably. Aren't those nice Lee words? Holily. You don't really see that written much, do you? Holily and justly and unblameably we behave ourselves among you that believe. This is part of a deportment. This is part of a walk you can see being developed in Paul's own character and his life during the book of Acts. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. These, you're going to discover, are parts of those things that you can expect through all ages in a person who is walking worthy. You can see this. That we should walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Now notice, this is a special hope. Here is a walk which is expected, and it's expected in light of the kingdom and glory. And if you come down a little bit further, look what it says, verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ? When? At His coming. That wraps it up, friends. So this is the hope that he was looking forward to. You see, we have come to understand this. Okay? We have come to understand these things. That when we read in 1 Thessalonians 2, a worthy walk in the light of a hope, we can see the hope which is being addressed. The hope which is addressed is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Second coming. It's got to do with the kingdom promises in relationship to Jesus coming back to the earth, fulfilling promises that he made to his people, the nation of Israel. Well, there's other passages too in Revelation, like for example in 3:4, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white. Why will they walk with him? For they are worthy. You see, the idea of the worthiness does indeed mean that there is some reward coming. There's some reward coming for us too. Let me just show you this. How will I find out where our rewards are? How can I find that information out? Well, the first thing is we've got to put in place the idea of RD. Okay, we've got to put in place the idea of RD, right division. And so what I want to know then is this. Where does Paul speak to us? Well, we can read it in Colossians and Ephesians, because here we find Paul mentioning the prison ministry that he had, and that prison ministry relates to the revelation of the mystery. So we know that. So let's take Colossians, all right? Let's go to Colossians. Find out something about that. I'm laying the groundwork for understanding what our walk should be. So in Colossians chapter 3, look what it says this. We're looking at practical things now. It says this in Colossians 3 and verse 24. Knowing that, this is verse 24 of Colossians 3, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. Interesting statement, don't you think? Now we're coming down to the nitty-gritty, the things that perhaps to some degree we've bypassed. It is in our nature to want to gravitate to all the things that we like. It's the buffet meal complex, right? All the buffet meals are dangerous, are they not? Oh boy, buffet meals. Oh man, yeah. I like that one over there. I think I'll take one scoop. No, let's get, whoa! And we can really dip into the stuff that's bad for us. But we overlook, you know, the stuff which we really need to look at, which is the stuff which is not so palatable, right? The stuff which is not so palatable to us. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. That means if there's no respect of persons, he's going to judge us on the same equality. You can have no right to say, I am Queen Elizabeth II. Too bad for you. You're going to be judged the same. The same. And it does say that, of course, you shall receive for the wrong. So you're going to receive something for the wrong. Well, that's interesting. You will receive something for the wrong. Okay. So that's very clear. We will receive judgment. I do not say that you're going to lose salvation. Salvation is a free gift. It's given to you as a free gift. But my friends, you will be judged. You'll be judged in some way, and you'll miss out on some rewards, and you'll get something else instead, which may not be too palatable. Okay, so there's the idea of the walk, which is worthy. Okay, well, I haven't finished with it. I'm just setting the study up, right? Today we're just setting it up, getting ready to dig into it. Because we're going to see that there's things that's possible to lose and things that are possible to gain by the worthy walk. Now let's look at this idea of the calling. Now if you look at this passage here in Romans 8, verse 30, it says, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also," here's the word, "called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." First thing I want you to see in this passage is that these verbs are all past tense verbs. Predestinate, called, called, justified, justified, glorified. Things that have happened in the past. They're all aorist verbs. They're done in the past. The action is posited. It happened in the past. Let's go back there. Let's have a look at this one. Because this is really quite cool, I think. Romans 8. Let's look at the famous passage that we hear people, Christians, often quoting. And verse 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Oh, here it is. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And then it goes on to verse 29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called," past. "And then he called, them he also justified," past. "And whom he justified, them he also glorified." You see, those people in the past who loved God, there was reward coming to them. There was an action from God in response to the fact that they loved God. And they gained all sorts of wonderful attributes and inheritance because of this. Now, if you just go down a little bit further, this is in Romans chapter 9. In Romans chapter 9, it says this. Oh, look at verse 1. "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." And then he says who they are. Who are Israelites? Is there any doubt to whom Paul is talking about? It's very clear who he's talking about. And just to show you what I believe is going on here, if you just go back to chapter 8 and verse 29, "For whom he did foreknow," who are those ones that he foreknew? It is the nation of Israel, right? And amongst those people, there were those who loved God. There were. I know the nation was disobedient. Most of the Old Testament is all about the disobedience concerning the nation. We know that. But there was always this remnant there. There was a remnant who believed, and they would not go along with it. Even the crowd says, "Yep, let's go back to Egypt." Man, that garlic, man. The garlic. It's gorgeous. Let's go back there. And they wanted to go back. But no, there was a remnant. Said, "No, let's carry on." And it says this in verse number 11. It says, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth." Despite all of this, there was to be a remnant of people who would be saved. And you notice, and who would be a part of this elect nation. It says that the purpose of God according to election might stand. You see, there is a purpose of God in election for this nation. Now, the Calvinists, what they see in this passage is always personal salvation. That's all they can see. They can only see personal salvation. But what they don't see, which is what I believe Paul is getting at, and is it's the emphasis of what Paul is saying, is the purpose of God in the election of Israel. Right? The purpose of God in Israel, in electing Israel. And what I'm trying to point out here is, it says here, the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Is it possible that there is another election? Yes, there is an election concerning a nation, the nation of Israel, but is there another election, another purpose of God, another calling which is based upon the calling of God, which is not Israel? Is it possible there is something like that in the Bible? And what we have come to discover is that yes, of course there is. There is another election. And it's this one here, according as he hath chosen us in him, chosen us. You see, again, people just can see the personal, chosen us. But it says, in him. So, in those who are saved, in those who have come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, amongst those people, he has made a choice. You see, some people, when they see this business of election and predestination, all they can see is personal salvation. When really, it's the corporate view which should be seen. What you should see is the purpose of God in election in relationship to what he's going to do with various people groups. What is he going to do with Israel? What is he going to do with, the church which is his body? And that's what we are interested in. How then should we live in the light of our special calling, our election, the place where we're going? What does that involve? And how should we live in the light of it? That's what we're looking at. So, coming down here, if you look a little bit further down in Ephesians, I want to show you something. And then I'll finish up, because, as usual, I'm too hot-winded. Ephesians, in chapter number 3, it talks about, you know, the Paul being the prisoner and how he talks about the dispensation of the grace of God and the revelation of the mystery. In chapter 4, he talks about being the prisoner of the Lord. That is, he is now seeing the Lord Jesus Christ as being his master. And then further down in chapter 5, it says this, verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice of God for a sweet-smelling savor. Okay, notice the sacrifice that is there. And then in chapter 5, it says this in verse number 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Notice music is in here. Music has its place. Coming down further in chapter 6, notice it says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Here is the soldier, right? Here is the armor. The various facets of our walk are incredibly sophisticated. And when I first read these last three chapters of Ephesians, I have to admit, I found this out of place. I found it, this is too simple, and it's too kind of basic to be mixed in here with these magnificent doctrines of chapters 1 through 3. And I'll be honest with you, I tended not to concentrate much on the last three chapters. But what I'm beginning to realize is there is something very, very important about these last three chapters that we better not miss out on. And it's my responsibility also as a preacher to bring this out. And that is the worthy walk. And it is multifaceted. It involves a lot of facets that I want to bring out. Okay, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this introduction to the series that we are beginning to look at. We pray, Lord, that it would help us to become more effective Christians, more effective saints, people who are showing forth the light of God in our lives. to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.